James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1. It's good to be with y'all this evening on this beautiful day. Isn't it just beautiful outside? I mean, for it to be February, it is just a beautiful day. And good to be with God's people. And I learned an important life lesson this morning. There is no easier way to get a compliment than by getting a new suit. So in case nobody noticed, I thought I would at least pass on those wise words of wisdom. I am your preacher, and that's what I'm here for. All right, let's go to James 1 this evening. I would like to continue the idea that we began looking at this morning of the Word of God. And essentially this morning we examine how the Word of God is the true inspired Word, and we can be confident that God has given His light to mankind through the Word. Without it, we're in darkness, but it is only through the Word that we find God's light. What I'd like to do this morning is go into the book of James and look at the question of how the Word operates and how the Word of God can shape our lives. We're going to be in James 1, a small section of James 1, our entire time. I'd like to begin by asking this question: am I religious? Am I religious? Well, how do you go about answering this question? You know, we could establish our own personal religiosity by looking at our neighbors. I mean, our neighbors go to church twice a year, never read their Bibles, pray occasionally. Compared to my neighbors, I'm pretty religious. We could compare it to our culture at large. Not overly religious, so yeah, we're pretty religious. We could compare it to our family. Well, they're more religious than I am, and I'm really not that religious. We could compare it to a standard of religiosity that the American Psychological Association has developed of, am I religious? How do I know if I'm religious? How do I really tell and measure whether or not I'm a religious person? There's various standards that we could use to try to answer a question like this, but how do you actually answer a question like this? I mean, whenever you try to answer a physical feature, it's a whole lot easier to measure, right? I've never been accused of being tall. I am short. You can take a ruler, take the measurements. I'm 5'5 and a half. Compare that to the overarching male population who are 26 years old. I'm short. I can know that. You take a ruler, you measure it. Well, how then can you tell with a concept like this, a spiritual concept, am I really a religious person? I would like to use James chapter 1. And the question we're really going to get at this evening is this: how do we see ourselves as we really are? How do I really come to see myself as I really am? And that's where this idea of self-deception is going to play in. So let's go ahead and read our text. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. James 1:16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who has intently looked at his natural face in a mirror. For he sees himself and goes away and at once forgets what he saw. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. There's various times in this passage James deals with the idea of deception. And as we come to see ourselves as we really are, we have to ask the question, how can I overcome deception? Well, notice a few verses. He says in verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. He continues on in verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And he finally continues in verse 25. And he says in verse 25, The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. There's various times in this section where James discusses the idea of self-deception, being deceived. How can we overcome deception? Religiously, how can we overcome false ideas about who I really am and who I really am in the eyes of God, and then see myself as I really am? Well, the key verse I want to focus on is found in verse 22. Verse 22, the text says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." One more time. "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Within this section, it seems that James is developing this idea of seeing truth, overcoming deception, by categorizing two types of people. He distinguishes the hearers from the doers. And what I would like to do for the rest of this sermon is look at the distinction in this passage between the hearers and the doers. Within this section, James shows both how to overcome deception, and ultimately what we're going to get to is the power of the Bible, by making these two distinctions. So I have for us a chart, and on this complicated chart, I have a frowny face by the hearers and a smiley face by the doers. That's up there to remind us, be a doer, don't be a hearer, all right? We'll define this in the context of the passage, but the smiley face, be a doer, frowny face, don't be just a hearer, okay? What's the difference in this passage between the hearers and the doers? Let's look at the temperament, okay? What's the difference in temperament between a hearer and a doer? Verse 19. "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Here it seems there's two types of people in the passage. Let's start with the frowny face. The frowny face is the person who hears, and their problem is, taking this the opposite term, they are slow to hear, quick to speak, quick to anger, thinking their anger produces the righteousness of God. This is the type of person who just their anger overflows of them. Whenever you think about their temperament, they're quick to anger, slow to speak, slow to hear, quick to speak, quick to anger. Don't be a hearer, okay? Frowny face. What is the good thing to do? Well, the good thing is what the doer does, verse 19. We need to be people who are quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Now, let's think through this a little bit. Again, the terms I'm using here, hearer versus doer, this is how I think James uses them and defines them in this passage. The temperament of a hearer is someone who is just quick to hear, and they're going to tell you what they think. They are just going to tell you what they think. They're going to let their anger out, and they're just going to make their own opinion known, and they're just going to get it out there, right? These type of people are intolerable to talk to, because all the reason they engage in communication is as though that other people can make known to them of how right they are, how wrong everybody else is, and how right and self-righteous they see themselves. Doers, on the other hand, are people who are quick to hear. They are people who are quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Which one best defines our temperament? Now, we're going to take this back to religiosity in the Bible in a little bit, but I just want us to see this distinction that James is making in the passage. Hearers are people who are controlled by anger. Doers are people who are controlled by love. Love for fellow man. My papaw is one of the just most kind, gentle people I've ever met. And Mamaw, I get my personality more from Mamaw. She's a whip. She's just a firebrand. And he has never, in their 55 years of marriage, he has never once raised his temper to her. Never once. If you knew my Mamaw, she would tell you that's a miracle. How has he done it? I asked him once, "Papa, how do you just keep this calm temperament?" he said, Ryan, let me tell you a couple lessons I've learned, okay? Number one, if I'm talking, I'm going to know what I think, but I'm not going to know what you think. If I'm listening, I know both what you think and I know what I think. So I found a whole lot more use in life by listening rather than by talking. Papaw is a doer. He recognizes that the way to wisdom, using a word of James, the way to understanding, the way to true understanding of who I am and who another person is you hear. And whenever you talk to Papaw, he'll shake his head and he'll show you he's listening, and he has these mannerisms where he raises his arms and you know that he's really following really closely. And you just know he is intent on every word that you say because he listens. He listens to understand. Hearers aren't like this. Hearers are people who they fly off what's the handle, thank you, it's not coming to me, I was thinking the rain. They fly off the handle at you. They are people who just get angry and they want to be known about how right they are. They're not like Papaw. They don't listen. Brethren, we have to be for our temperament, people who are the smiley face doers, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. This is something that in my life I have had to work on and still have to work on. Because I have my mammal's temperament. And my first inclination is just to fly off the handle and get mad. But what James is instructed is, no, I need to be slow to anger. Rather than just flying off the handle and getting frustrated and mad, calm down, listen, and be slow to anger. Well, what's another difference between hearers and doers? There's a difference in lifestyle. As we continue and we look at verse 21, James says in verse 21, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Here he commands them, you need to put off filthiness and wickedness. What's the mistake of hearers? Well, not only are they quick to anger, but they also are wrapped up in their own filthiness, their own wickedness. Whenever you look at the lifestyle that defines these people, it is one that is defined by filthiness and rampant wickedness. Well, what's the difference with doers? Doers are people who receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. We'll come back to that second thought here in a little bit. But I want us just to see the lifestyle difference. The temperament difference, hearers are quick to anger, slow to hear. Doers, slow to anger, quick to hear. What's the lifestyle difference? Well, I would say because of their quickness to anger, hearers are caught up in a life of wickedness and a life of filthiness. Hearers, on the other hand, are calm enough and are patient enough to listen to the word of God and then allow their lifestyles to be filled with meekness rather than to be filled with filthiness and wickedness. That's the lifestyle difference between hearers and doers. Well, let's look at another difference. What's their reaction to the word? This is the one that I think is critical. I want us to skip down and let's look at verse 24. Here he concludes of the hearer. He looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Okay? What's the reaction? The reaction of the hearer to the word of God is they forget. Now let's back up to verse 22 and get the full context with that in mind. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who intently looks at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. What's the difference in reaction to the word? Well, in one word, hearers forget, doers act. Well, why is this so critical to seeing the distinction? I want us to take some of these ideas and time together here in a little bit of filthiness and anger, etc. But I think the critical difference in this passage that James is expounding upon is hearers are people who they read the word, they hear the word, but then right after they've heard it, they go away and they forget all that they've said. Doers, on the other hand, They look intently at the Word. They see what the Word has to say. They see themselves in the Word, and they see themselves through the Word. And because of this, are going to make a change based on what the perfect law of liberty has said. Now, the image here that he uses is this. A hearer is somebody who would look in a mirror and see that they have chocolate sauce running all down their mouth, right? There's no good way to eat chocolate ice cream with chocolate cake. By the time you finish eating a good old piece of chocolate cake, take a hint, people. By the time you finish a good piece of chocolate cake, it should just be all over your mouth, all over your teeth. I mean, your mouth should just be black, right? You need a good napkin to wipe it off. A hearer is someone who they're going to go to the mirror. They're going to see they have chocolate sauce all over their lips, chocolate sauce running down their chin. I'm good. Walk away, forget about it, not even remember what the mirror looked like. Doers aren't like that. Doers are going to look at that mirror, see that I have some chocolate sauce right here, wipe it off, take care of it, make sure it's really gone, then I'm going to walk away and make sure it's gone. That's the difference between a hearer and a doer. Hearers are people who they really don't respond to the Word. I mean, they hear it, but that's really about it. They don't do it. Doers are people who they hear the Word, they make the change that's necessary, and then they do it. Well, what's another difference between the two? This is where I ultimately want to take us. The true difference, I think, between hearers and doers in this passage is how they see themselves. Continuing in verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. You'll notice this passage takes pretty much all the ideas we've talked about and tied them together. One more time. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. However, verse 27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. How do doers see themselves? Doers see themselves as selfless. Hearers see themselves as religious. And this, I think, is the central problem of hearers. This is the type of person a hearer is. A hearer is somebody who actually is caught up in all types of filthiness, all types of wickedness. But I think that I am religious, and I think that I have it all in control, and I think that I'm good. And because of that, I don't need to listen to what anybody else has to tell me. I don't need to listen to what the Word of God has to tell me. I don't need to listen to what anybody else in this world is going to tell me because I have it all figured out. And then whenever I look at something in the Word, I don't need the Word. I'm going to walk away and be the exact same because I'm already so dandy. That's a hearer. And I think within this passage, James is describing the whole temperament of that hearer. The temperament, the lifestyle, the reaction to the Word, and ultimately their self-perception. Doers, on the other hand, are different people. Doers are people who are characterized in one word by their meekness. I don't see myself as a great religious person. I'm not the holiest, and I'm not the most religious, and I'm not the greatest, but I'm meek. I'm meek and I recognize my need for God. I recognize my need for His Word. And because I recognize my own frailties and my own weaknesses, I'm going to look to God and I'm going to listen to what He has to say. I'm going to look to His Word and I'm going to make the changes where I need to make them. And I'm going to go away and I'm going to do what the Word of God tells me. This, I think, is the difference that James is really making in this passage. He is describing two completely different types of people. What's the central problem? The central problem of the hearer is how they see themselves. The problem that exacerbates this then is because they think that they're so great, they don't think they need the Word. And because they don't think they need the Word, they don't listen. And because they don't listen, they go away unchanged. They go away with chocolate face on their mouth. Doers, on the other hand, recognize, I need that mirror. You know, I probably have some chocolate face still left on my... I have some chocolate cake probably still left on my face. And I have some imperfections that I need to get off here. So, because of my imperfections, I'm going to look at that mirror. I'm going to see what imperfections there are. I'm going to wipe them off and I'm going to take care of them. And I'm actually going to make the changes that I see necessary. And then I'm going to go away different because I've been meek enough to listen to the Word. So, looking at this passage, I think James has really described two different people who see themselves differently, who respond to the word in different ways, who see themselves as different levels of religiosity, and ultimately who are impacted by the word of God in different manners. I'd like to do a chart that's just going to be a two chart this time, a two by two, that is going to illustrate how they see themselves versus how they really are. Okay? How do hearers see themselves? Hearers ultimately think they are religious, right? Hearers think they are religious. That's what he says in verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, okay, I want us to work through this logic. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, why does he not bridle his tongue? Because I don't need to listen. I don't need to listen because I have it all figured out. I have it all figured out. I have all the answers. I have everything that I need. I am great. I'm awesome. Listen to me. So I'm just going to talk and tell you like it is. And in doing so, what have they done? They deceived their hearts. This person's religion is worthless. A hearer is somebody who ultimately they think they're religious. And brethren, for those of us who've been raised in Christian homes, I think this is a passage we really need to take special care and special attention to. It is very easy for those of us who are raised in Christian homes to think that we are just so religious because of our upbringing. That because of the way that we were raised, that we are just so religious and we have it all figured out and we're so devout and we're so perfect. This, I think, is the type of person that James is talking about ultimately. He's talking about the person who ultimately thinks they have it all figured out. They don't really need all this change in the word. They really don't need the mirror because they don't have chocolate cake on their mouth. They're good. They never had chocolate cake there in the first place. They're good. Well, doers, on the other hand, they recognize, no, I'm not religious because of who I am and what I've done. But doers recognize, I need the word. And so that's why he says in verse 27, religion that is pure and undefiled before our God is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. What do doers recognize? Doers recognize my attention should not be to myself and my own situation. My attention should be to those, to others. I should be other-focused. Doers recognize, verse 25, that I'm going to look into the perfect law of liberty and persevere, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, and then he will be blessed in his doing. That's a doer. A doer is someone who recognizes, I am not great and religious because of all that I've done and the way that I was raised. I am utterly dependent on the perfect law of liberty to sustain me, and I am utterly contingent on God's holy word to give me guidance. Am I a hearer or am I a doer? How do I see myself? Do I see myself as religious? I'm going to tell everyone else how to live because I have it all figured out. You know, I am just so, my life is so flawless and my life is so great that I'm going to tell everyone else how they need to live too. I don't even really need to listen to anybody else because I have all the answers and I'm just going to expound upon my great knowledge and my great awesomeness. Or am I a doer who recognizes, yeah, no, I'm really not that awesome. God is awesome. His word is awesome. And it's not because of what I've done, but it's because of what I've read and understood in his word that gives me any level of wisdom in this life. Am I a hearer or am I a doer? Well, hearers have deluded themselves. Doers see themselves accurately because ultimately, hearers think they are religious, but in all actuality, they're wicked. Verse 21, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Hearers are people who they think that they're religious. They think they have it all figured out. They think they're so great, but in all actuality, no. Their lives are a mess. Absolute mess. Because they think they have all the answers, they think they're so great, but then in all actuality, their lives are filled with wickedness. Hearers, on the other hand, see themselves as people who are ultimately in need of the Word of God, but they are the ones who are actually religious. Religion, verse 27, that is pure and undefiled before God is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Hearers have deluded themselves and deceived themselves. The way they see themselves is different from how they actually are. Doers, on the other hand, are individuals who accurately see themselves as they really are. The question then, I think, is this: how do I see myself as I really am? How do I develop that accurate self-perception? How do I become like a doer who accurately sees myself as God sees me? Well, let's hold some of our reaction to the word. One more time in verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. What's the difference ultimately between a hearer and a doer? Yes, it is self-perception, but even more than that is how they react to the Word of God. How does the Word of God help me to overcome my self-perception? Because God's Word shows me as I really am. Let's go back to my original question. Am I religious? I can't accurately answer this question comparing myself to others. The only way for me to accurately answer this question is by looking to the Word of God. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. If I meet that criteria and I see through the Word of God, I see myself as I really am, I look into that mirror, then that's how I overcome deception, overcome self-deception, and ultimately become one who is impacted by the Word of God. So let me go to my original question. How do we see ourselves as we really are? How do we develop a face, Matt, using a C.S. Lewis term? We must be doers, recognizing the need for the Word and seeing ourselves through it. That, I think, is the true power of God, brethren. Is the power of the Word of God is not just a lamp that happens to guide our way. The Word of God is a powerful and active lamp that shows us our own path, that shows us our own selves. It is a mirror that accurately reflects ourselves to us. It is a mirror that shows ourselves how we are seen by God. It is a mirror that allows us to look at that mirror, figure out, what do I need to improve upon? So, brethren, here's my question. Do you have chocolate cake on your face? Do I have chocolate cake on my face? Hearers would say no. I've wiped away all the chocolate sauce. I've wiped away all the cake. I'm good. Doers recognize this. It's not until I'm going to be resurrected with Jesus Christ that all that cake's going to be gone. I need to keep wiping. I need to keep looking. I need to keep wiping. And while I'm on this side of eternity, I'm going to look to this Word to see my imperfections, to see how I can become more like God, to see how I can be molded more into His image. And then the Word is going to reflect to me myself as I really am. And that, brethren, is the true power of the Word of God. Get out your songbooks, please. There's various passages in the Bible that talk about the power of the Word. 2 Timothy 3, we read this morning, talks about how the Word is God-breathed. Hebrews 4 talks about how the Word is a sword. 1 Peter 4:11 talks about how the Word gives us all the strength and all the words that we need. But James 1 describes the Word as a mirror. And throughout these metaphors, God has painted through His inspiration the true power of the Word of God. It is one that shows us who we are, but it's not just that mirror that just reflects ourselves. It's a sword that can come into us, and it can affect our very soul. It can affect our very being. That, brethren, is the true power of the Word. The only way for us, though, to see ourselves as we really are, and the only way to get that chocolate off our face, is we have to look in the mirror, and you have to look intently at the mirror. You have to sometimes look at the mirror for a while before you start to even see some of the things that need to be changed. It's not just glancing at the mirror twice a week and then figuring out I'm all right. Pretty much every time before I leave the house, I make sure that my hair is right. I used to not. Whenever I was in high school, my hair was a mess. It was an absolute mess. And finally, someone at Florida College finally told me, Ryan, you need to start doing something with it. And then it became a habit. I started putting mousse and gel in it, and then whenever I'd get out of bed in the morning, I don't have this glob of hair that's just way over to that side. But it looks acceptable. And so it's pretty much a habit now. Anytime I leave the house, I'm going to look in the mirror just to make sure I don't have hair standing way up here. You know, it's not glory and self-vain about my hair. I have the farthest thing from that about my hair. But I just want it to look okay. How many times do we look in a mirror? We look in a mirror to make sure that we look okay and to make sure that we don't have, you know, something, a popcorn kernel stuck up in our tooth, to make sure I've not missed a spot shaving, to make sure that my hair looks okay, to make sure I've gotten all the yellow off my teeth, to make sure that I look presentable, to make sure I see myself as I really am. And brethren, that's what we have to do with the Word. We have to look to it, and we have to see ourselves as we really are, and we have to allow the inspiration of God to reflect to us and show us His power. If anyone needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, either come forward and be baptized, or need to confess wrongdoing and need the prayers of the congregation, come forward while we stand and while we sing.